This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this. Did you know that right now GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit GEICO.com to learn more.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Have a nice vacation. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Friday, August 14. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
The Senate has joined the House in leaving Washington for its summer recess without reaching agreements on another round of coronavirus aid.
A political battle over new funding for the post office has escalated over mail-in ballots for the November election. Hear what each side is saying.
The number of Americans applying for unemployment benefits fell below 1 million last week. As the job market turned a corner, we'll have analysis.
And how millions of us plowed money into retirement savings even as the pandemic punched the economy in the gut.
So it is kind of mind-boggling to think while we're in the midst of a recession, we're looking at stocks, you know, hovering back at records now. And we did see retirement accounts rebound despite the coronavirus pandemic in the second quarter.
Jessica Menton at USA Today on our savings habits during the coronavirus. There won't be any coronavirus aid from Congress in the immediate future. Now that the upper chamber has left Washington for a month, senators left D.C. yesterday until September, with talks at a stalemate over a fifth package that would provide things like stimulus checks and enhanced unemployment benefits. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell had kept the chamber in session this week, which was technically the first week of its August recess, trying to buy time for an agreement.
Republicans have been waiting and trying to pass bipartisan relief, literally, for weeks. I would hope our Democratic colleagues will let the Senate act sometime soon.
Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer says they're willing to meet in the middle.
The executive orders do nothing to deal with this postal problem. They won't change it at all. They don't touch it.
Senators will get at least 24 hours notice to return if lead negotiators are able to break the impasse and votes are scheduled. Otherwise, the Senate will formally reconvene on September 8th. President Trump says by blocking a request from Democrats for $25 billion in new funding for the Postal Service, he would also hurt their efforts to expand mail-in balloting ahead of the November election. That led Democrats to claim yesterday the president was trying to undercut voters. The president later clarified that he would consider signing separate legislation that included such funds.
The mail-in ballots is the easiest way for a country like a China or a Russia or a North Korea or Iran, I hear Iran too, you know, that was part of the report. This would be very easy for them.
Democrats want to shore up the Postal Service ahead of an election in which it's expected to play a pivotal role. The Postmaster General said earlier this month that there's ample capacity. But the U.S. Postal Service Executive Vice President warned Pennsylvania at the end of July that it's unlikely there's enough time to request and return mail-in ballots to be counted for Election Day. With the support of the United States, Israel, and the United Arab Emirates are establishing formal diplomatic ties after Israel agreed to suspend a plan to annex parts of the occupied West Bank. A joint statement from the three nations read, quote, "The historic diplomatic breakthrough will advance peace in the Middle East region." Reaction from Secretary of State Mike Pompeo.
The Trump administration's vision for peace provides a good foundation for all of the countries of the Middle East to join together, to come together.
Israel has relations with Egypt and Jordan, but the UAE is the first Gulf Arab state to announce a formal bond. The Gulf Arab states have historically held off doing so amid Israel's long-running conflict with the Palestinians. In recent years, shared hatred with Iran has brought the sides closer together. The move by the UAE is expected to increase pressure on Saudi Arabia and others in the Gulf region to follow suit. But Saudi monarchy is competing with Iran to be seen as the defender of the Palestinian cause. It's 10 minutes after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
Dell supports America's entrepreneurs during Small Business Month with all you need to office anywhere. Save up to 45% on computers and servers with Intel Core processors. Upgrade to new modern devices with Windows 10. Plus, save on top-brand tech while enjoying free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the tech that's just right. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit Dell.com/smallbusinessdeals.
Thanks for being with us. Unemployment claims fell to less than a million last week for the first time since the coronavirus pandemic hit the U.S. in March, a sign the labor market recovery may be regaining steam. The Labor Department yesterday said new applications for unemployment benefits dropped to 963,000 in the week ended August 8. Claims are down significantly from a peak of near 7 million in March, but remain at historically high levels. In-depth analysis from Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. Rick, reaction to the numbers.
Woo! Big cause for celebration. Fewer than 1 million people filing for unemployment claims. I'm being sarcastic because while it is an improvement, I mean, we've had more than a million go for several weeks in a row. These numbers remain extremely elevated, and this is terrible news. I mean, just so people know what we're talking about, this is a weekly number that comes out. It tells you how many people basically lost their job in the latest week and filed for unemployment insurance for the first time. And this week it was only 963,000. But, you know, before the coronavirus recession, it was typically below 200,000. And before this whole thing hit, the worst number we ever got was around 700,000. So we are in a huge hole in terms of the labor market. We are slowly climbing out. And we're, I guess you could say we're making progress, but the progress we're making is painfully slow. And if it doesn't pick up, we're going to be in this hole for months and possibly years.
All right. So I know that the bar is low, but are we running downhill at this point with these numbers? Have we turned a corner?
You know, to my mind, we have not turned a corner. And I'll just give you a couple of reasons why. So the total number of unemployed people, it looks like it peaked at about, let me just give you the trend here. So before we started shutting down businesses because of the coronavirus, we had unemployment of about 5.8 million. That was excellent. Suddenly we started shutting down all these businesses. Unemployment peaked to 23 million in April. It has since dropped to about 16 million. That's total unemployment. You know, how do you want to look at it? I mean, it's better than it was 3 months ago, but it is still almost three times worse than before this whole thing started. And I think the most concerning thing, Gordon, is when you look around the states at what's happening with the virus. I mean, we know that we do not have this virus under control. We know that states like Texas and Florida and California have had to reimpose shutdown orders because of mounting infection rates and the soaring death rate. So what that tells you is we just cannot open businesses in any kind of normal way at the moment. And there's no reason to think we will be able to do that in coming months, basically until we get a vaccine or, you know, the authorities just get way more serious about what it takes to get this virus under control. So I do not feel we have turned a corner. But if you're President Trump, and you're trying to find some statistics that make this look better, I mean, you can find them in the slowly improving job numbers.
We're speaking with Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. I think I saw a number, and it's unsettling. 31% of some of these folks who filed jobless claims have been basically hired, fired, rehired, and fired again. It's heartbreaking.
It's terrible. And I mean, that makes sense. So think about people who work in restaurants, for example. So in some of the states, there were brief shutdowns, and then bars and restaurants were able to reopen. And then virus infection rates went up and hospitalizations went up and they had to close again. And I think what's happening now, Gordon, is we're moving from temporary damage to permanent damage. So at the, you know, go back 4 or 5 months when this all began, we got a lot of stimulus out of Congress. That was actually pretty well targeted. It was meant to keep businesses running and try to keep people on the payrolls in the hope that this would be fairly short lived and we would get to the other side fairly quickly. we are not getting to the other side fairly quickly. And at an anecdotal level, at least, now you're starting to hear about a lot of businesses that thought they could, they thought they'd give it a shot and maybe they could survive. And now they're starting to close a lot of restaurants, for example, a lot of retail stores. By the way, we're seeing just a total wipeout in retail, what is even worse than what was known as the retail apocalypse beforehand.
Thanks, Rick. Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The Senate has left Washington until September, the latest sign that a deal on another coronavirus relief package is at least weeks away. The House already left town and isn't expected to return until September 14th.
Number two.
President Trump says his efforts to block new funding for the Postal Service in coronavirus aid talks, if successful, would also hamper efforts to expand mail-in balloting this fall, sparking charges from Democrats he's trying to undercut voters. He made the comments on Fox.
Now, they need that money in order to have the post office work so it can take all of these millions and millions of ballots. Now, in the meantime, they aren't getting there. By the way, those are just two items. But if they don't get those two items, that means you can't have universal mail-in voting.
Democrats backed $25 billion for the Postal Service in a $3.5 trillion bill that passed the House in May, aiming to both help the agency recover from lost revenue during the pandemic and shore it up ahead of an election in which the Postal Service is expected to play a central role.
Number three.
New details are emerging about how hundreds of millions of coronavirus vaccines will be distributed in the U.S. and who will bear the cost. The Department of Health and Human Services says the federal government will pay for the vaccines and their distribution and is working with commercial health insurers to offer the shots free of charge and without a copay. A collaboration between the federal government and the healthcare industry would handle distribution of the vaccines. Israel and the United Arab Emirates are moving to establish formal diplomatic ties after Israel agreed to suspend a plan to annex parts of the occupied West Bank. National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien.
The peace agreement between these two countries will encourage and foster cooperation in those efforts.
Israel has relations with Egypt and Jordan, but the UAE is the first Gulf Arab state to announce a formal bond with Israel. Well, if you're a big fan of Sour Patch Kids, you may want to take a trip soon to New York City. The brand has announced it's opening a new retail store and restaurant in NoHo. The cafe will feature things like Sour Patch Kids flavored cookie dough and milkshakes topped with a slice of rainbow cake.
Man. What a blast from the past.
Oh, they're still around.
Sour Patch Kids. Thanks, Jen.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Patty Poppes, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Glad you're with us. Welcome into Friday. Stocks have done an about-face and are back near record highs following a sell-off inspired by the coronavirus in March. But even during the downturn, a new study finds that workers kept piling money into their nest eggs. More from Jessica Menton, personal finance reporter at USA Today. Jess, seems strange.
So it is kind of mind-boggling to think while we're in the midst of a recession, we're looking at stocks, you know, hovering back at records now. And we did see retirement accounts rebound despite the coronavirus pandemic in the second quarter. And even during the downturn, workers that were fortunate enough to still be able to keep their jobs kept piling money into their nest eggs. And while retirement accounts obviously saw sharp swings in the second quarter, from April to June, due to the uncertainty obviously surrounding the outbreaks, balances still saw double-digit growth. And that's looking at, you know, IRAs and looking at 401k plans. So it is kind of astounding and obviously sets the tone for whenever unfortunate things like this happen in the economy and we see stock market crashes. You have to be mindful of not stepping out of the market too soon because you could end up missing out on the next leg up.
Right. So for those who kept their jobs and, say, increased or maintained savings, was it easier because, in many cases, there was nowhere to spend money, so there was extra money available to be invested or plowed into a 401k?
Exactly. That was has been something that has come up anecdotally in so many different conversations I've had with Americans throughout the country the last few months is if you were lucky enough to work in industries that weren't impacted as much, say there was one woman in my story who was talking about before she was driving each day, commuting about 2 hours per day. So all of a sudden when she's working from home, she's not paying as much in gas. She was also able to negotiate a lower price point for her auto insurance, and it saved her about 30%. And she had already, you know, been putting some money into an IRA through her company, but she had always wanted to open up a separate Roth account and then maybe a brokerage account. And so because she was saving about $300 to $500 per month with the saving and driving costs, also not, you know, spending as much money on other non-essentials because, say, you know, you're not going to work as much, you're not going to be buying as many, you know, clothing items and things like that, because you're going to be sitting at home, maybe in your sweatpants or whatnot, that the rest of us are doing. And so all of a sudden, you know, she was sitting on some extra cash, and she thought, well, this might be, and she also is in her late 20s, and she thought, you know, well, this might be the perfect time for me to go ahead and open up these other retirement accounts that could really help me, especially as a lot of experts always kind of drive it home, the earlier you can save for this, the better. And so that was, you know, another example of somebody that was doing that and saving money.
Thanks, Jess. Jessica Menton, personal finance and markets reporter at USA Today. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. We've heard for years that it's important to have a diversified portfolio, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, that kind of thing. But if you've ever looked at a breakdown of the most successful portfolios, you'll typically see real estate. So why isn't it one of the first asset classes you consider when you're looking to diversify? Well, simple. It hasn't been available to investors like you and me until now, thanks to Fundrise. Whether you're new to real estate investing or a veteran, Fundrise can help. Fundrise is an investing platform that makes investing in high quality, high potential real estate as easy as investing in your favorite stock or mutual fund. Fundrise manages more than $1 billion in assets for more than 130,000 investors with a team of real estate professionals that carefully vets real estate projects. Start building your better portfolio today. Get started at fundrise.com/Gordon to have your first 90 days of advisory fees waived. That's fundrise.com/Gordon. to have your first 90 days of advisory fees waived. Fundrise.com/Gordon.
Start your day smarter. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday, August 14. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. The Senate goes on vacation without coronavirus relief. A Justice Department investigation finds Yale University discriminated against whites and Asians in its admissions process. In a dispute over fees, Google and Apple have yanked Fortnite from their app stores. Joe Biden wants a government mandate forcing us to wear masks outside. The Lake Fire in Southern California burns 11,000 acres. The Seattle Seahawks cut a rookie trying to sneak a woman into the team hotel. And the cop with a breathtaking train track rescue. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The businesses of the future are being built today, and Michigan is where they start. Learn more by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity. Consumers continue to battle airlines over canceled tickets. At stake, billions of dollars and likely lasting animosity toward airlines over punitive policies. Among the pandemic-related ways airlines are punishing us: refunds delayed and denied, vouchers worth thousands of dollars that have already expired, ridiculously long telephone holds, unanswered emails, and complaints ignored. Here to go in-depth on his story is Scott McCartney, travel columnist at the Wall Street Journal. Scott, seems there are multiple fronts where passengers are holding the short end of the stick.
I think that's right. There are plenty of instances where passengers have been owed a refund, and they're not getting it. They're not getting it because airlines are being very slow to pay, or they're simply refusing to pay. In many cases, airlines are saying, well, here's a voucher instead, even though U.S. regulations require the option of a refund. And in many cases, some passengers just been marked as no-shows for flights and told you're out of luck. You get no refund. You get no voucher. We're keeping your money.
How can they refuse to pay? Like, what leg can they stand on in that situation?
You know, airlines have a long history of making up their own rules. And this is the case now. When you buy a ticket, you agree to a long list of rules and regulations, and most of the times they're written in the airline's favor. In this case, it's really sort of a clash of who's right and who's wrong. Air Canada is a good example. Air Canada says the Canadian government says we don't have to pay refunds. And the U.S. government says, but when you fly to the U.S., it's U.S. regulations that are in force. And U.S. regulations say if the airline cancels a flight and doesn't provide an alternative without a substantial change, without a significant change in schedule, and that's generally for a lot of airlines, that's just 2 hours mm-hmm. or so, then the customer has the option of a refund. And the U.S. government says U.S. rules take precedent here when you're dealing with the U.S. And Air Canada says, no. Canadian government has allowed us to waive all that. And because there is a crisis, we're not going to pay refunds. So for a lot of airlines, it is this sort of pandemic escape clause. We see this a lot in the insurance industry where they say the crisis is so bad, we're suspending the normal rules and we're going to make up our own.
We're speaking with Scott McCartney, travel columnist at The Wall Street Journal. He's written a piece entitled Airlines Are Withholding Billions in Refunds. So on the voucher front, in some cases, the airlines are giving vouchers and then they're expiring. And people are saying, well, what? The pandemic's not over yet. That's not fair.
Yeah, no, this is a really sort of insidious thing that's going on. And I heard, since the story came out, I heard from a whole lot of people who had fallen into the same trap. There are different dates in terms of vouchers. So a lot of airlines say, well, we've extended the period when you can actually use the voucher. So it's not just a year, it's more than that and all. But some airlines also have dates of when you actually have to redeem the voucher and book it. So, yes, you can book it for a year out, but at Frontier, you only have 90 days to make that booking. And so people see it and they think, oh, I've got a year to use this, but you don't, you have 90 days. And so in some cases, these vouchers can be worth thousands of dollars. A family of five going to Cancun, $4,500 or so. And a woman says, okay, gee, I'm ready now to go book. Oh, look, a lot of people aren't ready to make any travel plans right now. There's so much uncertainty. But even in this case, flights that got canceled for spring break, And now you go to book, and the airline says your voucher has no value. The $4,500 just disappeared because you missed the 90-day deadline that you didn't even know about.
How about the one guy, too? Didn't he purchase, 14 tickets on his own with his own money to take an enormous, extended family to this great Caribbean vacation, maybe, a once-in-a-lifetime, and the airline wants to give vouchers to the individuals instead of him, and including a 3-year-old. It's just maddening.
Right. No, this is more than $10,000, 14 people, family trip to St. Thomas. Half of them are grandkids.
Wow. Thanks, Scott. Scott McCartney, travel columnist at The Wall Street Journal. It is 19 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. With the recent global pandemic, the way we work together seemingly changed overnight. And if there's one thing we've learned, it's that having access to the right resources is essential for adapting your business. But when it comes to finding the right talent, the process can be time-consuming, frustrating, and expensive. Whether you're launching your first business, scaling your current business, or in need of extra support to complete a project, find the quality talent you need instantly with Fiverr. With Fiverr's online marketplace, your business is connected to freelancers offering hundreds of digital services, including graphic design, copywriting, web programming, and more. And it's so easy. You can customize your search by service, deadline, price, seller reviews, and more. Plus, no more guessing games. You'll know exactly what you're paying for up front. No negotiating needed. Check out Fiverr.com and receive 10% off your first order using my code Gordon. All the digital services you need in one place at Fiverr.com, code Gordon. Fiverr.com, code Gordon. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday. It is time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we know grabbing a beer from a bar this weekend is a lot different than it used to be in many places. New York City tops that list, with only outdoor dining allowed across the five boroughs. To that end, any bar that wants to serve drinks outside must also serve food, and patrons have to order it, which has forced some watering holes to be creative and in some cases ridiculous. The New York Post chronicled some of the weirder offerings. Thirsty patrons in the East Village, for example, may find their drink order accompanied by Lunchables, a single sliver of cheese quesadilla or dumplings cooked in a hot dog steamer. One bar is offering what they call soup, consisting of hot water and a single bouillon cube. Another is serving a $1 gluten-free vegan taco, which consists of just a single corn tortilla. Other food items spotted but not necessarily ordered by patrons include gazpacho, a dry cup of ramen noodles, and of course PB&J, which some say actually pairs well with some of the fruitier drinks.
Uh-huh.
So there you go.
Yeah, I thought initially you were going to say, you know, they brought out those like kids snacks of like you know, Doritos or Lay's potato chips.
You're not allowed to do potato chips. Apparently, according to the governor, chips are not substantive enough. You need to have something a little bit of a higher level than chips, because everybody would just throw out a bag of chips.
Yeah, right.
Right. They need to have, I guess, some sort of cooked food. The definition is a little bit murky, to say the least.
That is unbelievable.
But chips are not. Chips were specifically sort of banned. They were said they were not substantive. Substantive enough. That's what the governor says.
Got it. So, okay with that is just ramen noodles.
Well, yeah,
uncooked,
I guess,
dropped in a bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I said cooked. I was kind of misspoke there. Not really cooked necessarily.
I don't mean cooked. I mean, like they're just ripped out of the package essentially and dropped in a bowl.
Right. Well, that's the situation here. Yes. Yeah. They're just kind of thrown in a bowl. So,
brilliant.
Yeah,
brilliant rulemaking here.
It's all extremely murky.
By the way,
yeah.
Dumplings cooked in a hot dog steamer.
Yeah.
Sound very good.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the best of this bunch, right? I mean, certainly better than Lunchables, I can tell you that much.
Maybe an IPA? Match that with an IPA, perhaps?
Yeah, that might not be bad. And it's tough enough, we know, to keep food safe from your ravenous pets, but heaven help us if they start working together to form food-stealing crime syndicates. That's the case for one woman in Norway who posted a now-viral video on Instagram last week of three dogs working together to steal leftovers off of her kitchen counter. In the video, two border collies named Harley and Henry stand side by side next to the stove, while a smaller corgi named Hugo stands on their backs in order to eat from a plate of food sitting on the stovetop. The woman, who's also a dog trainer, told the Southwest News Service that the three dogs were raised together and are always looking out for each other. She also says that despite the thievery, the doggy teamwork shows that we all need to work together to achieve our goals.
Ah, I see what she's doing there.
Now, you got a whole bunch of animals. What if they started working together to steal food? It would be anarchy in your house, would it not?
Well, it's already anarchy. It's total chaos.
Right.
The lab, the chocolate lab, has no remorse whatsoever.
Right.
Can snatch something off a plate, off the counter, devour it, get yelled at, and her tail still wags.
Right.
There's no remorse whatsoever. Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Thanks for being with us. Enhanced unemployment insurance has been a lifeline for many households over the past few months if they've received the benefits. Payments have lagged for potentially millions of workers for months. Around 40% of new applicants had not yet received a benefit by the end of June, according to the most recent data from a think tank called the Century Foundation. That's around 15 million people. CNBC Make It says the best way to get the benefit is to keep contacting your state unemployment office to make sure your application did not have errors. However, that can be a difficult and time-consuming process, which may deter some people from pursuing their benefits, but you got to keep at it. A single mother of five in Florida, how about this, told the Washington Post that she called her state's office 400 times in April alone to work out why she hadn't yet received a payment. She wasn't able to get through to anybody. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The U.S. reported nearly 56,000 new coronavirus cases Thursday, the highest daily tally in 4 days, as communities around the country face decisions on whether to reopen schools. And testing trends for the virus vary across states. Anthony Fauci, the nation's top infectious disease expert, spoke with ABC.
We're going to continue to have this up and down. So that's the thing that I'm concerned about, because I believe we can. We have it within our power to be able to get that down. Bottom line is, I'm not pleased with how things are going.
Total cases in the U.S. top 5.2 million, about a quarter of the worldwide total.
Number two.
President Trump's gambit to defer Social Security payroll taxes for the rest of the year and pressure Congress into forgiving them is turning into a logistical challenge, with its rollout complicated by his own unclear statements about the plan. The Wall Street Journal says the Treasury Department faces continued pressure from businesses about the difficulty of implementing the idea. And since Trump unveiled the concept, he has repeatedly described his own administration plans in a way that suggests he is seeking a much more sweeping elimination of the tax.
Number three.
Attorneys for the family of Breonna Taylor are renewing their calls for charges to be brought against the officers involved in her death, a day after Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron met with Taylor's family. Taylor family attorney Lonita Baker.
The purpose of that meeting was for the Attorney General to personally extend his condolences.
Baker says the meeting was the first time the Attorney General personally spoke with the Taylor family. She says Cameron, who is investigating Taylor's fatal police shooting, said he is awaiting ballistic results from the FBI from the scene. Well, sharks may not like us much, but they apparently like each other quite a bit. A new study from Florida International finds that sharks have more complex social lives than previously known and develop bonds with each other that can last for years. Researchers studied several dozen sharks near Hawaii for 4 years and found that far from being solitary creatures, they spent mornings together in groups, dispersed throughout the day and into the night, and then reconvened the next morning.
Reconvened the next morning for what? To spy on surfers? Things like that?
To talk about what they were going to do to us.
Right. Mapping out the next day's events. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Dell supports America's entrepreneurs during Small Business Month with all you need to office anywhere. Save up to 45% on computers and servers with Intel Core processors. Upgrade to new modern devices with Windows 10. Plus, save on top-brand tech while enjoying free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the tech that's just right. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/smallbusinessdeals.
Thanks for being with us. A California police officer came to the rescue of a man in a wheelchair who was stuck on railroad tracks, pulling him to safety just seconds before a train flew past. A dramatic police video shows Lodi police officer Erica Urea in the area of the train tracks around 8:45 in the morning Wednesday when she spotted the man who appeared to be stuck as the railroad alert systems blared and the crossing arm lowered. Officer Urea's body-worn camera footage shows her pulling up to see the 66-year-old man and quickly getting out of the car.
Can you get up? Get up.
She's prompting him to get up. That's the train's horn in the background you can hear as the sound gets closer and closer. Ms. Urea is able to pull the man from the wheelchair and just barely off the tracks moments before the freight train barrels through. Police said the man was taken to a local hospital for a leg injury, but was otherwise okay. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more.